Well, God bless you all. Tonight I'm going to read a chapter from a book called God's Magnificent Goodness. It's Volume 1, Victorious Christian Living by Greg Bacchus. And it's called The Urgency of Our Times. And I think God summarized probably this whole lesson in the God's manifestation in saying that we are God's hands and feet, and that we are to walk among those around us and give them hope and give them life, because that's the purpose that we are here, to glorify God, to represent Jesus Christ, to be ambassadors. And I think you'll enjoy this chapter, and it's a wonderful book. So, the urgency of our times. Today is the greatest day in the history of mankind to be alive. Why is it the greatest day to be alive? Because this time frame, this day we are living in, is the age of God's abundant grace. It is a day that prophets of old desired to see, but it was kept secret in God until it was first revealed to the Apostle Paul. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 through 6, you're welcome to turn there or just listen. It says, how that by revelation he, God, made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. The Gentiles would be fellow heirs. It wasn't just the children of Israel that were God's chosen, but we all are. There's no racial discrimination in God's eyes, nor should be in any believer's eyes. We are all one in Christ. Verse 6 is the mystery made known to Paul. It had been hidden in all the ages through all prior generations. God revealed to Paul that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body. The greatness of the redemption, which became available through the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, was now open to all who would believe. Ephesians 3, 9-11. And to make all men see what is the fellowship, the administration of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers, in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he, God, purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. This day, the age of grace, the administration of which you and I live in today, is the greatest time in the history of mankind. How big is this grace? How magnificent is this age within which we live? 1 Corinthians 2, 4-8 says, and my, the Apostle Paul, speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. What is this mystery? What is this wisdom? Here is the key verse, which none, N-O-N-E, of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That was so big to know that we would have Christ in us that God had to hide it. It is just remarkable. It is so incredible, so awesome. It is so believable because it is God's word. I love that. No more unbelievable, because nothing happens without believing, right?
Yeah.
Had the devil known that you would be who you are today in this age of grace, that you could receive God's Spirit, that you could have Christ in you, the hope of glory, the devil would not have crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ had not been crucified, you might hear today on the evening news, Jesus was in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania today. There were 18 raised from the dead, and 14 received their sight. There were many other signs, miracles, and wonders. It is reported he will be in Zion, Illinois tomorrow. That could have been the newscast. The devil knows how valuable you are to the Father. Had he known what you have today, he would not have crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. God knows how valuable you are because he gave his only begotten Son for each one of us. In Colossians, we see the riches of the glory of this mystery. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What an awesome privilege we to be alive. God, since the fall of Adam and Eve, was in the garden, desired to reestablish a relationship with his creation, mankind. The reestablishment of that relation became available through the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. On the day of Pentecost, God could once again place his Spirit within men, women, and children. He could be a father to his prized creation, mankind. In the Gospel of Luke, we see Jesus Christ being tempted at the start of his public ministry. In Luke chapter 4, verses 5 through 8, and the devil, taking him, Jesus, up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Satan offered to Jesus Christ the power and the glory of all the kingdoms of this world. He could offer it because it was given to him. The fall of Adam in the Garden of Eden was an act of treason. Adam handed over his rulership of this world to God's arch enemy, the devil. Much like Satan's temptation in the Gospel of Luke, the things of this world are by and large designed to keep people from knowing the one true God's love, his goodness, his mercy, and his grace. Since the fall of Adam, man has largely been deceived by the god of this world, the devil. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 through 5. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. The gospel is hid to them that are lost. The God of this world hath blinded people's eyes. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the love of God. It is the word of God that will open people's eyes. If you ask most people today what they think of God, many will say he is just waiting to pass judgment and condemnation, or that they do not believe in him at all because they have been so beat up by the lies promulgated about him. Even many well-intentioned religious people misrepresent our Heavenly Father by attributing to him the works of the devil, such as earthquakes, violent storms, sickness, disease, and death. They state how it is God's judgment upon unrepentant people. Hebrews 2:14 and 15 state that the devil is the author of death. The devil is the one who puts people in bondage. Hebrews 2:14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. In 1 John 3:8 it states, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus Christ healed the people. Jesus Christ raised people from the dead. He helped people wherever he went. There is a day coming when God will judge the world, and it is described through the book of Revelation. We are not yet living in the times described in the book of Revelation. There is one great moment, one great notable event that must and will take place first. That event is the return of Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18 says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." If God does not want us to be ignorant, he must want us to know. He does not want us to sorrow as those who have no hope. Verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep, those that have died, in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep." Some of God's children will be alive when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." What an awesome hope. Our hope, the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He came the first time a little over 2,000 years ago, and he is returning. It could be tonight. It may not be for another 100 years, but he is coming back. What a magnificent hope we look forward to. Jesus Christ surely shall return. Because of our hope, we are to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Where is there an urgency to our time? Well, it is not any more urgent than it has been since the day of Pentecost. The days are always crucial because time is limited. The Lord Jesus Christ could return at any moment. And when he does return, this administration of the age of God's grace will end. In other words, the door of the ark will be shut. When Christ returns, this age of grace will be over. This age of God's grace has made it possible for mankind to receive God's Spirit, to become sons of God, and to receive eternal life. This sonship is available through believing that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead and confessing Jesus as Lord of your life, Romans 10:9-10. Your sonship in Christ has nothing to do with how good or how bad you have been. It has everything to do with the goodness of God and the complete work of Jesus Christ. Your good works come into play after receiving the Spirit of God in the new birth by grace. There are eternal rewards based upon your works after having received God's Spirit. It is clearly obvious we live in a crooked and perverse world. Evil is called good, and good is called evil. In 2 Timothy 3:1-5 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." You got the point there. A lot of evil going on. "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power therein, from such turn away." There is an urgency to our day, no different than it was in Acts 5 and Acts 8. There is an urgency for the unsaved, your co-worker, neighbor, or family member. Many live with no hope in this world. We must give them the opportunity to know God as their loving Heavenly Father. There is an urgency for us that you become steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There is an urgency for our country and world. It is in a death spiral because of the ongoing marginalization of God and his word, and at times the outright rejection of his grace and love. The name of Jesus Christ is the most powerful name in all of God's creation. The name of Jesus Christ saves the unsaved, heals the sick, casts out devil spirits, brings joy and peace to the mentally unstable. It is the name above all names. It is the name that all will confess as Lord, and every knee shall bow. either now or at the resurrection of the just and unjust. Ask your Heavenly Father to show you who you really are. See your purpose. There is an urgency to our times today, like never before. The door of the ark is still wide open. It has not been closed yet. A few weeks ago, we were at Agape Now, and I was talking to this homeless man who frequently sits on a bench where we set up our table, and I was telling him for the first time, meeting him, about Jesus Christ, and he said, "Wow, I would have loved to be with Jesus and to follow him and to just see him work and be there in those days." And I said, "Well, you know what? When you get born again, it's Christ in you, and you have that same power to do those things that Jesus Christ did." And I think all of us need to imagine the works that Jesus did, that we can do them, that we can imagine going into the grocery store and the cashier says, "Hey, Jeannie, there's people that need to be healed. They're over in aisle 2. They know you by your reputation." And that's what we have. We have the Spirit of God in us. We have that power. So the urgency of the times needs us to walk as God, as Christ walked. So that's what I wanted to share with you tonight. So, Father, I thank you for your tremendous love, for allowing us to live in this day and time where our lives are vital and fruitful. I thank you for the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ that we can manifest. And I especially pray for Gino Meldon right now, and for him just coming out of surgery, heart surgery, that his heart just heals up perfectly and that he has a new lease on life. I pray for Bill Phillips and for his hand to be healed and that he has no pain. I thank you for all those that we love and pray for the assurance and guarantee. We have that guarantee that you answer our prayers and that we are your beloved. So, Father, thank you that we have an urgency to walk. And thank you that you are walking with us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.